Hello and welcome to Learn With Us. This is Nikos, your host. We're currently on episode 41 and today we have Hunter Perrin. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing really well.
Cool. Whereabouts are you today then?
I'm in California.
Oh, nice.
At LinkedIn here in Sunnyvale.
Oh, LinkedIn have offices there?
Yeah. Yeah, we have... I think we consolidated. We traded land with Google, and now we've consolidated all our offices into Sunnyvale.
Is that where the headquarters are?
Yep.
Nice. Are they still using Ember for their front end?
They are, but luckily I'm on a team that uses React, so I get to use all the fancy new React tools.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like Ember more than React now.
Yeah?
I interviewed Yehuda about the framework, and just the framework just keeps getting better and better. And I used Ember back in the days when you had to use getters and sitters from the DSL. But now I haven't actually used it in like a year and a half, 2 years. But I think even Svelte's taking ideas from some of the rendering stuff that Ember's doing.
Huh.
Yeah.
So Svelte has a really cool ideas. The Svelte feature set, I think I like more than... I like that all of their features are very simple, but are very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the first Svelte-based podcast I've done.
Oh, awesome. I'm really glad that I get to be on it for that, because I'm a huge fan of Svelte.
Cool, man. So how did you... When did you first hear about Svelte?
I think it was about a year and a half ago. It was right before Svelte 2 came out. And I just dove like headfirst into it. I was looking for a library to build a new project that I was working on at the time called Tunnelgram on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically down to the new Angular. So like Angular 2 and on. React, and then I heard about Svelte, and I just tried it out for a little bit, and I completely fell in love with it. I love the way that Svelte works, the way, like, all of the patterns that Svelte lets you do just make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, I think for me, the thing I liked most about it was I could just use variables without some special DSL to modify things. I could import variables, export variables, and I could just modify them without having to do set this and set state that and hooks and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, back in Svelte 1, you actually did have to do like set and get. And then Svelte 2 made that a little easier by just using the pattern where get returns your entire state, and then you just deconstruct that state to pick things out that you want. And then Svelte 3 made it way simpler, where you don't even have some sort of state. You just declare a variable and start using it.
Yeah, I think Svelte 2, it looked a bit like Vue with the data initializer for state, if I remember correctly. I mean, I only started using Svelte when it was Svelte 3, but maybe I just imagined that.
I much prefer Svelte 3. It's come a long way, and I think all of the goals of Svelte 3 they managed to meet. Svelte 3 was supposed to be a much more vanilla JavaScript experience than, you know, Svelte 2. It kind of still felt boilerplate-y. You know, you wrote a bunch of code just to get started, and then you could start coding on your actual features. Whereas Svelte 3, like, you can just start with HTML and toss in a variable and you've got a super simple component.
Yeah, I tried to write my own vanilla JavaScript sort of framework, but it was becoming more and more, basically everything was totally vanilla JavaScript. Basically my components would be a class where I create an element and then I have some template and then I have some functionality that renders this big massive string template, but then as things start getting more complicated, I just needed more and more frameworky things. But I think for me, Svelte is nice because it's if I want to go and try and understand the code, the actual, you know, today I'm thinking I actually went and looked at the code base a little bit. It's like, it seems like I don't have to understand years and years of work, like say the code base is something like React. It's okay to pass up on React because it's a big comp, not hurting anyone's feelings. It's not like it's one guy behind it.
And I feel like Svelte produces a lot simpler code than React, because you know with React it's got the whole virtual DOM, and you have to understand like A, the virtual DOM, and then DOM diffing, and then how it updates the DOM. Whereas Svelte, it updates a single element. You know, you change a variable and it goes, okay, well, this element requires that variable, so I'll update this element. Mm-hmm.
So the reason that I got Hunter on the show is that he is the guy in the brains behind this integration with Google's latest incarceration of Material. What got you interested in doing that?
So when I was working on my project called Tunnelgram, there weren't any Svelte UI libraries. So basically I had to use a CSS library. So I chose Bootstrap because I was familiar with it. Mm-hmm. And since then, I've really wanted to turn it into Material UI. And there was a guy who was working on a Material UI library. And I kept pestering him for months, like, hey, how's it coming on the Material UI? Did you get it up on GitHub yet? Can I see how it's going? And it was pretty clear to me after a little while that work had stalled. So one day I just decided, I really want this thing to exist. I'm just going to code it myself.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
And seeing the work that was done in the Svelte 2 attempts at Material UI, I don't think it was quite ready to integrate until Svelte 3. So it was kind of the timing of Svelte 3 coming out, supporting a lot of new features that could let you build this Material UI integration.
Is it because of the component lifecycle?
Partially that, but also you have a bit more control over the elements and you know what you can export and how you can interact with like references. So I think it was the combination of the control that you're given. Also the internals of Svelte 3 were a little different, so that I could actually write a piece of code that could forward every event on a component. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest problems I had with the other Svelte libraries is if I make a button in one of those other libraries, I can do on click because every button obviously forwards the click. But a lot of them don't forward other events that you may need. You know, I may need on mouse over and they don't forward those events. Or I may need on touch start or on drop, you know. It might be a drop target. And they don't forward those events. So one of the key features that I wanted my UI library to have is that every standard UI event is forwarded on every component.
Mm-hmm. I had to look at your code. I like the way you've done it. It's you're using their JavaScript and to run instantiate the components, and then I guess you're just importing their styles. Is that how it works?
Yeah, for most of it, all I do is just import their styles. There are a couple components that I add a little bit to their styles. Mm-hmm. One of the main ones is the button. Their button only has the primary colors. So whatever your primary color choice is, in Google's Material Design components, every single button, you know, not floating action button, but the regular button, every single button is only that color. So I wanted to give the user a choice between primary or secondary colors. And you could also go in and use the mix-ins to create your own colors.
Mm-hmm.
So it is possible to theme it with all the mix-ins that both they provide and I provide a couple extra mix-ins.
So what's that?
They're SAS mix-ins.
So what strategies do you have to make this like maintainable so you don't burn out? Do you think that you're in a good position? Because as these things grows, I mean, you have like 20,000 stars and then you get all sorts of people contributing and issues and stuff like that, you know?
Well, I think one of my main strategies with this, aside from like using it in my own projects, so I have to maintain it because I use it myself. But one of my bigger strategies with this thing, one of my pie in the sky dreams, is that eventually I want to provide a preprocessor specifically for this library that can provide both web code and Svelte native code to build the same components. So basically, as long as you're not using HTML components, you could build a web app and a native app in the same code base in Svelte.
Right.
That's my pie in the sky dream. So,
are you talking about the native script stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. Svelte native uses native script.
Right.
So I'd like to basically provide this one library that you could use on web and on native in the same code base.
Okay. What is native script, by the way?
Basically, it runs your JavaScript in a process and communicates with your JavaScript, and your JavaScript tells it what to do to real native components. So what you're building, it uses real native components, but it runs in JavaScript. So you have access to libraries that can communicate with the mobile hardware or use like specific mobile features that you wouldn't otherwise be able to use in web.
Is that what React Native uses?
What was that?
Is that what React Native uses?
I think they take a similar approach, yeah. Basically running your JavaScript in a separate process and having a UI layer that their interpreter takes your JavaScript calls and modifies the real native components based on those calls.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's a lot of CSS implementations built around material, but I'm not sure if they actually use the material styles or they rewrite their own, reinvent the wheel each time. But I think the way you're doing it is correct, but I'm not sure if other frameworks are doing the same thing, like Vuetify and like for React, like React One and Material UI for React, Vuetify for Vue.
So the React one, I think they just call it Material UI.
Yeah.
That one is they're entirely their own code base. They don't use any of Google's material design components.
I see.
But that one is like particularly mature. So they have a whole lot of a whole lot of the material design spec already finished, and they have some additions to the Material UI spec.
I see.
Things like the paper component, which isn't really part of the Material UI spec. So I have taken a couple of their concepts and used them in my Svelte Material UI.
Okay.
Like I also provide a paper component, which isn't really something that material, like the Google Material spec has, but it's something that is very useful for creating material. Like just plain Material UI components.
So for me, paper is like a raised div with padding.
Yeah. So basically, there's material design components includes elevation, but that's all done in CSS. So I wanted to provide a component to let you have an elevated surface and have it, you know, change, like changing elevation causes animations, and you can also color it with like the primary color or the secondary color. Mm-hmm. So it's basically like a shortcut that you could do all of this with the Google Material Design components. But I want to get closer to feature parity with the React Material UI.
Mm-hmm. I started a video series on Svelte and Material UI, but the first video wasn't Svelte. But then I'm trying to figure out how to just import the styles into Sapper, and trying to figure out the Webpack config to get SCSS support, just so that I can import the styles. I tried to import it and I was getting like can't resolve at symbol or something like that. But does yours integrate with Sapper?
It does. So I actually have a site that demos all the components of Svelte Material UI, mm-hmm. and that site is built in Sapper.
Okay.
So it shows how to integrate with Sapper. If you go and look at the code of that site, it does look a little different because the way I import the components is locally instead of, through a normal NPM package. But taking that approach, you could be able to build a Sapper site with SMUI.
Right. Say that I didn't want to use SMUI. I just wanted to import the raw material from material design components into Sapper. What is it I need to do? Because obviously you've done something to get the SCSS files to work originally.
Yeah. So you could just import the SAS files, mm-hmm. Which is basically what you would have to do if you were building without a SAS processor. So if you were building in Webpack, and you were building the SAS separately from that, then you would just have to import all of your SAS components by hand.
Right.
But that approach, is supported by SMUI. Like you can import from the bare.js files, which won't import any SAS styling. But the recommended approach is to import from the index.js, which will import all of the SAS styling for the component you need and any components that one requires. Mm-hmm. Mainly because, let's say you have like, you're using a slider component in somewhere in your app, and then you just get rid of it, but you don't remember to get rid of the slider stylings.
Yeah.
Now you're importing a bunch of styles that you're never using in the app.
Right.
So it just makes handling dependencies a lot easier. You only have to delete it from one location if you stop using it.
Yeah, okay. I think this video is what I'll do is I'll try and get as far as I can. I'll probably just try and make some layout template, and then I'll just go over and do the rest of the videos with using your code base, because it saves a lot of time. I don't have to manually import and instantiate the material design components. You've done all that with the component lifecycle stuff.
So. Yeah, there's a few. There were a few tricky pieces with the MDC components. One of the biggest tricks was getting the snack bar component to work. Right. Snack bar and chips were both two components that were pretty difficult to get working with Svelte. Because Svelte has this idea, it assumes that nothing else is changing the HTML. So it assumes, your DOM goes from one state to the other only in Svelte. But these MDC components actually change the DOM. They themselves will rewrite parts of the DOM. Mm-hmm. So, for example, with the snack bar component, the MDC component will remove the text node from the DOM and then put it back in, because that causes a screen reader to see that change and read the announcement to someone who's visually impaired and is using a screen reader.
I see.
Once you do that, Svelte no longer knows where that node is and how to update it. So if you need to change that text, SMUI provides a way for you to change that text.
Right.
That does all that heavy lifting for you.
Okay. So you're providing some extra APIs that hook into Svelte.
Yeah, basically just providing workarounds to all the weird integration problems that that MDC had.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, instead of you having to figure out all these intricacies, the MDC components, I've done all that for you. And as long as you just use the API that's publicly available on SMUI, everything should work. And if it doesn't, you can give me a bug report and I'll fix that.
Cool. So to be clear, I'll leave it in the show notes. How do they find this repository on GitHub?
It's github.com/hparin,
yep,
which is my first initial and last name, /svelte-material-ui.
Right.
Or
right.
You can go to sveltematerialui.com.
Cool, man. And do people help maintain that site as well? People can contribute on the docs?
I've had a few people contribute to the docs and contribute bug fixes. I will gladly accept PRs. There's a lot of bugs that were only noticeable under certain environments that I hadn't tested in, that people were posting and saying, like, hey, this doesn't work. So like Sapper, for example, someone posted and said, hey, Sapper doesn't work. So I had to learn, I had never used Sapper before, so I had to learn, like, okay, how do I set up Sapper? And then once I got it set up, I fixed all the problems to get Svelte Material UI working in it.
And for a while, I've only used Sapper, so I didn't actually know how to do routing on just a pure client until I looked. There's actually an external library for routing, because Sapper for me was fine, you know. I just, like, server-side rendering, everything's great, you know. Sessions persisted across page refreshes. Cool. So do you see any other companies starting to use Svelte now?
I would hope so. I think one of the biggest problems that Svelte had in adoption is the really limited UI library support.
Mm-hmm.
So my hope is that having a good reference implementation of, you know, this is how you would build a UI library for Svelte will help other developers build other UI libraries. That way, if a company, let's say right now, is using Fomantic, there's a Svelte Fomantic library that's in the works as well. So once you have all of these UI libraries that support basically the same, like, feature parity, I think that's really going to help drive the adoption of Svelte.
Mm-hmm. So the real world app, which I've contributed to a bit, is all Bootstrap, but there's nothing special going on there. It's just styles, I think. Whereas you've got some dynamic nature of material.
Mm. So I had used Bootstrap in TunnelGram, my messenger app, and that, like, Bootstrap is great for certain things, but delivering the entire style payload of Bootstrap at once is kind of a big performance hit, or a big, you know, initial time to render mm-hmm. hit. Whereas if you could deliver something where you're only using the styles, like, for example, in my Bootstrap implementation in TunnelGram, I actually import specific components in Bootstrap so that I don't have to do that. And Svelte Material UI lets you not have to, like, import these specific components yourself. just as you use them, the SAS will be loaded.
So that's great.
It's kind of like tree shaking automatically in the style.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So what do you do apart from set your laptop all day like me?
I run a whole lot of open source projects, so I do spend a lot of my time just coding.
Yeah.
But I do also try to maintain a few hobbies. I'm an avid bowler. I just nearly beat my record. I bowled a 214 on Monday. My record is 220.
That is good. One of these, I need to get my own bowling ball. But my wrist is kind of, I've got like RSI from too much programming.
I'm hoping that helps with my wrist. You know, when I bowl a lot, I can tell it's my wrist is stressed from typing all day.
Yeah, I mean, I basically injured my right wrist doing weightlifting, and then because I'm always on the Mac using this trackpad, I get repairs properly, so I probably need to take a break from coding for about 3 to 6 months, but that'll probably be after I exit some startup that I've not done yet, so yeah. But I think Svelte's given me a new kick in development. It's really kind of inspired me to get to know a framework while not just use it, you know, get involved in the community. So
yeah, I tried to contribute a bit to the Svelte, like the Svelte project itself, but I feel like my skills better align with running projects outside of Svelte that complement Svelte.
Mm-hmm.
So like being able to build a UI that I feel like could be usable by a number of people, like could be usable to grow Svelte's popularity, I think is really cool.
Yeah.
You know, being a part of Svelte in my own way.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking of making a web app that I hope to turn into a startup, but I'm thinking of using Svelte and your UI library. And I'll probably blog about it, well, not vlog about it as well. Because I've been using my website, I use Vuetify for quantumjs.com, and that's written by John Leader, and he was on my podcast before. Yeah, he's ex-military, that he managed to get into open source. And the reason that I chose Vuetify was that he had such a great template for just out of the box. I wanted to have a nice responsive web mobile design, and it was so quick and easy to get up to speed with. I didn't have to think too much. Like, I think it was Material UI in React. I didn't actually have a template that I was happy with, straight out of the box and time-strapped. So I'm trying to accomplish the same thing maybe in this library.
I have a setup. I have a couple example repos of my Svelte Material UI for Webpack and Rollup. And I think it would be probably a good idea to provide a good template in those apps. Because if you go to the site, the SvelteMaterialUI.com, that site works really well on mobile as well.
Mm-hmm.
It does what Inbox used to do, where if you're on mobile, the sidebar will be like a modal pullout sidebar.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go on the desktop, it's a permanent sidebar.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that design. Having a consistent sidebar across different resolutions.
Mm-hmm. So I'm underneath an underground, but every time it goes over the overhead, it blocks my mobile signal. Because... So Okay, so where do you think the future will be with your library?
So I think the next step is going to be trying to get it integrated with Svelte Native.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you could use the exact same components for web and for native. So that way, I would ideally like to be able to build an entire project in one code base that runs on the web and native, and not have it be something like Cordova, where all you're doing is just putting up a little HTML window. Because that really doesn't work well on iOS. iOS has like a whole lot of restrictions on how web pages can work. Mm-hmm. It's every browser on iOS all runs Safari under the hood. They're all WebKit based.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you're building like a progressive web app on iOS and you install it from Google Chrome, it's still going to be running Safari's rendering engine. So I want to make a way to build a native app using the same code base. So I think Svelte is a really good base for that kind of project because Svelte is pre-compiled. So unlike React, where you're delivering the runtime and the application code, with Svelte, you can just have a preprocessor to pick out certain parts. You know, if you're building it for web, you can just pick out the HTML parts and compile those. And then if you're building it for native, you can pick out the native parts and compile those. So I'd like to have this library support both web and native just using a really simple preprocessor, just a Svelte preprocessor.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. My ultimate goal is to run my own app, to convert my entire own app into that. So I'm going to be working on Svelte Material UI to get it to the point where I can do that.
Sweet, man. Cool. All right, so we're at the half an hour mark now. Is there anything else you want to share with our listeners about Svelte or your own ideas about the framework?
Yeah, so while I was trying Sapper, I kind of fell in love with Sapper. It's a really cool model to build an app. I'd just like to say, like, if anyone hasn't tried Svelte and Sapper, definitely give them a try. And I have an example in the site directory in my repo of how to get Svelte Material UI working in Sapper. So cool. If you want to take a look at that, Sapper is really cool.
Cool. I'll link to your repository in the show notes.
It kind of takes the whole process of providing. So like I'm, when you set up a when you set up chunks in WebKit or in Webpack,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty difficult to get it right, and then you gotta load them manually yourself. And Sapper just does all of that for you. Every route is its own chunk. So if you go to a different route, it hasn't loaded any of the JavaScript or CSS for that route until you either hover over it and you have preloading on, or you click it.
Why is that so easy for the Sapper framework to do versus some of the other ones, which I haven't even bothered to look at how they do it, because it just seems like so much bloat or complicated config to get that to work?
I think it's because Sapper is pretty opinionated on like how to do routing and you know, how to do preloading, so and how to do like server-side rendering. So because Sapper is so opinionated, it's still pretty versatile, but all of those decisions on how to load specific things are all made for you, and they're all provided automatically in Zapper.
Mm-hmm.
So all you have to do is just load up Zapper and build out all your routes, and like as soon as you go to a page, it just loads like that. It's so fast because it's only loading what's necessary for that specific page. And so, the nice thing is you get that server-side rendering. So on any page that's publicly accessible that you want a web crawler to be able to see the content, it's so easy with Zapper to be able to do that.
So is all the logic for the server-side rendering is compiled into the server.js file?
I believe server.js just loads the server. The server-side rendering is just provided by the Zapper framework. So it'll render your code. If you export it, then it renders your code at compile time. But if you don't export it, if you're running it from Express or Polka, it will render on the server side just by its own middleware. Is it middleware? Is that the right word?
Middleware, yeah. I mean, I'm not a Node expert, but there's a use function in the default config where you can put in the Zapper middleware, but I don't know what's going on under the hood. We'll get to that point. I'll try and figure out what's going on.
And that's what handles all of your server-side rendering for you.
Yeah.
Really nice.
There was only one time I had to look at some of the guys helped me on the Discord a bit. I had to look into the code that was generated by Zapper because I was getting an error on the back end, on the front end appearing, but it was a problem that was occurring on like a preload kind of thing. There was some undefined variable or something like that, and the guys back there that knew how to debug those server.js files pointed me in that direction. So
yeah, that's one of the other really nice things about both Svelte and Zapper is the community behind them are so responsive. Just everyone, every time I've had a question of like, why is this happening in Svelte or why is this happening in Zapper, you can just go to their Discord and ask that question, and within minutes someone responds,
or two or three. They're all like waiting for the message, you know, to go in there.
And yeah. Rich Harris, the guy who wrote Svelte and Zapper, he is very active in the community as well. Like he's a very good shepherd of both projects. You know, he's very active, and he'll also, like, if you have an idea for Svelte or Zapper, he's very receptive to ideas. But he's also very conscious of, you know, performance impacts.
Mm-hmm.
So like one of my ideas got shot down because it actually would have hurt performance a lot. And he's very good at explaining like why he would shoot down an idea. I see other maintainers of other projects that just say like, no, we're never doing this. And they don't really explain why.
What was your idea?
What's that?
What was your idea?
I can't remember exactly what it was, but it would have involved adding like an O of N algorithm to something that that already was like the, it was like O of one, and it would have become O of N.
All right.
And he explained like the benefits that you get from it don't outweigh that performance hit. So I felt like he's very respectful towards people when he's responding to the community, which I think is a really valuable thing in a project maintainer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Are you in? I'll probably try and find you on the Discord and ping you once I'll do this podcast. I need to release it because I missed Monday's. Normally I'd release on Monday, but sometimes it's hard to keep providing tech content of this level, you know.
Yeah.
Once you've interviewed the guys, the heads of the frameworks, then where do you go next, you know?
You can find me on Discord at H with a K.
Okay, cool.
Cool, man. And I hang out in the Svelte chat a lot.
Cool. Okay. Thanks very much for your time.
All right. Thank you for having me. It was a real pleasure.
Yeah. And thank you, my listener, for joining us on this show. We all assume that you're very interested in Svelte if you've listened for the last 40 minutes on this very niche topic. But that was Hunter Perrin, and he is the lead maintainer of that Svelte Material UI. And thanks, and we'll see you all again soon. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Okay.